Hello and welcome to the Digital Insight, the technology, procurement and supply chain podcast that delivers valuable C-level perspective into the core issues surrounding business transformation and digital disruption. Each episode will bring you the most inspiring executive insights from those who are leading transformation strategies within the world's biggest and best known companies. The Digital Insight. Disrupt. Transform. Evolve.
Is the electric vehicle market as mature as it should be? And if it isn't, what's holding it back? According to a recent report from EV Volumes, a Swedish-based consultancy which provides consistent market data for plug-in vehicles, 2020 went down as a great year for plug-in vehicles. The report reveals that we're expecting global battery electric vehicles and plug-in hybrid electric vehicle sales of up to 3.24 million. All over the world right now, governments are fast-tracking the journey towards the end of petrol and diesel cars. But let's look at some numbers. In the UK, all sales of new petrol and diesel cars are set to end by 2030. California will ban the sale of new gasoline-powered passenger cars and trucks by 2035. Norway aims to become the world's first country to end the sale of fossil fuel-powered cars by 2025. And in fact, fully electric vehicles now make up about 60% of all monthly sales in Norway. Sales of new energy vehicles will make up 50% of overall new car sales in China, the world's biggest auto market, by 2035. But this is all future talk. Let's think less about 2025, 2030 and 2035 and think about 2021 and the paths that we've taken to lead us here. What has the last 10 years brought in terms of EV development, and where are we right now when it comes to the EV market? Who better to answer this question for us than Paul Lustalan, a partner with Ready & Grows, a provider of patents, trademarks and designs, particularly those patents coming from the EV market. I'm Dale Benton,
and this is the Digital Insight Podcast.
It feels like there's been quite a big shift over certainly the last 10 years, but even the last five or two or three. As I say, it feels like that new wave of automotive companies, and as it was perhaps at the beginning of the 20th century, when you had vast numbers of small car manufacturers producing small volumes of vehicles, and then slowly they were weeded out until at the end of last century, we had sort of the top five massive car makers and not really anybody else. And it feels like we've now got lots of small companies building up, lots of startups challenging those existing OEMs. And you can see that in the patent filings as well. The existing OEMs are still filing lots of patent applications to everything they're doing. But you can see that the smaller players are building up their portfolios as well, therefore spending lots of R&D investment in working out where they're going next and trying to be, I guess, those next big players in the automotive world. That feels like the biggest trend over the last 5 years. And so we've been helping some of those smaller companies, some of the startups to really build up their portfolio of patents in the whole sort of almost the whole gamut of the automotive world. But certainly it feels like those sort of key pain points of energy density. So what do your batteries look like? What does the storage look like? How do we get the price down? But also sort of more at the control end and at the electric motor end as well, because that also helps clearly. If your motors are more efficient and more power dense, then that helps you keep your mass down, which increases the range and means your batteries don't need to be quite so good. And so there's definitely development there as well. I guess what we've seen is that the car makers are still developing their internal combustion engines as well. They are definitely not the past. They are still the present and will be the future as well. And the number of patent filings for internal combustion engines is still going up. There is still demand there. There's still more and more being filed each year compared to the previous year. But a few years ago, I think about four years ago, the number of patent filings to electric vehicle technology was exceeded the number of filings for internal combustion engines. So yeah, electric vehicles with power on board, i.e. not trains, basically, exceeded the number of patent filings in the IC engine world, and are continuing to accelerate at pace. And I think that sort of speaks to the point I was making just now about those smaller companies filing more and more. If you've got lots of small companies filing lots of patents, then clearly you're going to have lots overall. Yeah, really interesting.
There have been significant advancements made in the global EV market over the last few years, meaning that the next 10 years look set to be particularly interesting for the automotive industry. Jaguar has announced that it will turn electric by 2025. Land Rover will start selling EVs from 2024, and Ford is expecting two-thirds of its entire commercial vehicle sales to be either EV or plug-in hybrid electric vehicles by 2030. Tesla, the name in EV manufacturing, recorded sales close to $26 billion in 2020. So change isn't coming. It's already here. Much like any other industry, it's the larger players that dominate the headlines as well as the market. But when you look closely, it's the smaller players who bring about true disruption. For example, take a look at the financial space. The larger incumbents were once upon a time disinterested in what startups and fintechs were doing, but now they find themselves on the back foot and are making radical changes in order to catch up and cater to their new financial customers. So is it fair to assume that the smaller startups and disruptors in the EV and automotive space are now forcing those bigger companies to not only look over their shoulders, but think about their own futures?
Yeah, that's a big question and a great one. There's I could talk on that all day, I suspect, but I mean, just if we look at Tesla, for example, everyone loves to talk about Tesla in the EV world. They are clearly a disruptor. 10 years ago, they were a couple of weeks away from complete bankruptcy and failure. Now they're the most valuable car company in the world because they are indeed a disruptor. They went their own route and they've gone their own route in terms of protecting their intellectual property as well. They've sort of this pledge by Elon Musk not to enforce their IP against anyone as long as those people also give them a free license to use their tech. They're disruptive in kind of every way. And I think that is forcing the hand of the OEMs to move as quickly as they can. But I think, unfortunately, for the OEMs, it's quite difficult for them to move quickly. They're big beasts, and moving to operate in the as a disruptor might. Disrupting their own markets is not a great thing, because that's where they get their revenue from, and I'm not sure there's the overall demand in the marketplace even for them to move that quickly. But yeah, the smaller companies, and Tesla is just one example of a small company, or at least it was 10 years ago, that are forcing the hand, I think, of the OEMs to move really quickly, move at least as quickly as they can. And there are other examples in, especially coming out of China, there are vast numbers of electric vehicle manufacturers coming up in China. And it's a big market in of itself, and most of them are actually purely local within China. But some will expand out and some will come into the rest of the world and again disrupt those big OEMs. And I think what helps them, I think I was going to say what helps them is that the electric vehicle market technology is actually much more straightforward in some ways to get into than a sort of complex internal combustion engine type vehicle. And so those hurdles to entry are much lower. And so yeah, those disruptors can come in, they've got lots of capital because people are investing in them. The OEMs, who are surviving on sort of razor thin margins from their existing businesses, I think are finding it quite difficult to both get their EVs on the market and get people to buy them, and without sort of running out of cash along the way.
Look around the world right now, and EVs are very much a part of the here and now. And this is supported, of course, by the global EV and plug-in hybrid sales of 3.24 million last year. But for some, EVs remain a technology of the future. We were led to believe that we'd all be driving fully automated electric-powered vehicles by now, and yet for most of us, we still find ourselves filling up our diesel and petrol-powered cars. Even with the rise in sales, the manufacturer promises, and the government mandates, why is there still a perception that EVs will always remain a technology of the distant future?
I'm obviously not going to be able to answer that question, but but I think if we look at, for example, one of the big factors is cost. Clearly, before electric vehicles become mainstream, they need to get at least close to the cost of a normal vehicle and not a luxury vehicle. It's quite easy at the luxury end to replace a replace your high-end Mercedes with a Tesla because the prices are comparable. But when you get down to the sort of Ford Focus level, it becomes much more difficult for manufacturers to produce the EVs at that level. And a lot of that is to do with the battery price. And if you look at the sort of the price per kilowatt hour, 10 years ago, it was well over $1,000. At the moment, I think it's close to 100. And I think that $100 per kilowatt hour has always been spoken about as the tipping point where you can just about start to produce EVs with a reasonable range at the sort of normal price level for a vehicle. And you've sort of seen that with the Tesla Model 3, the sort of entry level. It's getting towards the price of a normal similar comparable IC engine vehicle. So that's one point. So the price is clearly a massive driving factor, and without getting that price down, they're simply not going to become mainstream. I think there is also that infrastructure side of people are concerned that, well, if I buy this electric vehicle, how on earth am I going to charge the thing up? I don't have a driveway to put my car on. How am I going to charge it overnight? Which means I need to go and either trail a cable across the pavement, and that's not ideal, or I need to go and fast charge it somewhere. What's that going to do to the life of the battery? How much is that going to cost me? How long is it going to take? So I think that infrastructure side is also a bit of a break on take up. And then there's the classic range anxiety of people who actually want to drive to see granny down in Cornwall and see that 300-mile journey or whatever it might be as a massive factor. And if they have to stop halfway through and charge their vehicle up for an hour, then they're probably going to say, well, actually, an EV isn't for me. When in reality, 99% of their life is spent doing less than 40 miles a day, where an EV is perfectly fine. So I think there are lots and lots of factors there. And I think that tipping point, as you say, will only occur when you get all of those things coming together, that people realize that, well, range anxiety isn't really a thing because you should have a break when you're driving anyway. And fast chargers now, in half an hour, you could easily get enough power into your vehicle to carry on and do the rest of your journey. As I say, hopefully price is coming down and infrastructure is building up massively and quickly. Fast chargers are popping up all over the place. People are starting to install chargers in lampposts on the street. I feel like the tipping point is coming. All of the OEMs have got electric vehicles out on the market now. It feels like it's becoming more mainstream. And I think as the battery tech improves, and we can see that with the price coming down and energy density going up, I feel like the tipping point might be seen, especially when you then add in governments basically enforcing electric vehicles to keep emissions down. So let's hope it isn't sort of fusion that is always 30 years in the future. Let's hope it's okay, this is going to happen now. Because clearly from an emissions point of view, it needs to, although that's a whole other question as to where the emissions might go and how clean electric vehicles actually are if you look at the life cycle, but maybe we won't go there.
We all know the benefits of EV technology. We see what it can, what it will, and what it already is doing in terms of carbon emissions and energy consumption. But as with any technology, there's always going to be the challenge of whether the customers actually want it. For every customer who wants a new, energy-efficient vehicle, there'll be one who is happy to continue using what works best for them, and why shouldn't they? It's never as black and white as saying that there are those who want the new and that there are those who don't. So what do companies need to do to help cater to all their consumers and ease those who are reluctant into the new era of the automotive industry?
And I suspect the market's general people's willingness to, reluctance to change, not willingness to change, the reluctance to change is why we're seeing a bit of a drop off on the rate of increase of EVs as a proportion of vehicles sold. I think we're still only at sort of worldwide a few percent, 2 or 3% of new vehicles sold are EVs. A lot of that is being driven by China, and there, for whatever reason, the proportion of new EVs in China is dropping off as a proportion of the vehicles sold. I feel like we might have hit that point where the early adopters have got there. There'll now be a bit of a hiatus as the technology develops a bit. And once the technology is developed sufficiently that basically you're not really going to notice the difference, it's just another powertrain, and as soon as you get to the point where most consumers can't actually tell the difference what they're driving, it's just a bit quieter in terms of refueling. At the end of the month, they realize that it's been a bit cheaper. I think that's when you'll get that tipping point. But you're right, until you get there, selling it to the mainstream is really difficult, because why would you change away from your diesel, your petrol, where you just sort of, you're into your routine, you go and fill it up once a week and you drive it around and you forget about it. I think there's a big task for the OEMs in particular, I would think, to selling electric vehicles and teaching the mainstream what these things are and how actually you might need to use them slightly differently. You're recharging overnight if possible, you're not filling it up once a week. Look, you're doing 40 miles a day, you're doing 20 miles to work and back. You don't need 300 miles range in your vehicle. This one that does 200 miles is perfectly fine for you. There's education there as well. Maybe the OEMs can do that on their own. I don't know. Maybe governments stepping in and forcing OEMs' hand. But that doesn't really change the way people are thinking and what they want. Yeah, it's a difficult one. Because as I say, the OEMs, they make their money from selling things. They don't make their money from forcing new technology on people.
As with any technology, when it works, it sells itself. We as consumers can see it operating, and we can see the benefits it'll bring to our lives. In the automotive industry, when we think about a car, cosmetics aside, we simply ask that it works, and that it allows us to go about our daily lives with relative ease. If it can save us money, reduce our carbon footprint, then even better. Success stories sell, but as we talked about educating the market, what significance is there in focusing on failure? If you're a manufacturer and it simply doesn't work, it doesn't roll out as successfully as you anticipated, or the technology just does not comply, can that actually be a good thing in terms of the conversation surrounding EV technology? Can we gain more from hearing about those failures than we would by simply focusing on the successes?
Learning from others' mistakes is always a great way to learn, isn't it? I mean, if you can do that rather than learning from your own, then fantastic. A difficult question. I guess we don't always see all of those failures, obviously, because some companies will just never emerge into the light of day. They sort of fail before they've even met the first hurdle. But yeah, there's clearly, as I say, I think there are lots of companies out there all trying to get into this place, and there will be lots failing as well, because there probably isn't room for all of them. We've seen companies try to emerge out of China into the rest of the world, and just haven't managed it for one reason or another. Haven't managed to get the funding. The technology isn't quite there. They've run into manufacturing issues, particularly in the automotive world. Those manufacturing issues are enormous, which is where the OEMs clearly have a massive advantage. Even Tesla, with all of their money, have found manufacturing ridiculously difficult. So I think learning from those mistakes and learning from the industry as a whole, in that sense of how you actually get a vehicle to market for a reasonable price at a reasonable quality. But yeah, in terms of technology failures, I think bringing it back to my domain, as it were, and patents, we see vast numbers of patent applications to technology that will never see the light of day, because that's kind of the way the patent system works. You have to file before it's public, which means invariably you're filing your patent applications before that technology is matured, and certainly before it's on the market to see whether people like it or not. So even looking at the patent applications that have been filed to work out, okay, we can see that particular area has taken off, it probably means that there's some gold there, as it were. We need to go and dig and find it. So using that as a source of potential sort of dead ends not to follow. Okay, there's no one's filing patent applications in that area anymore. It's probably a good reason for us not to go and explore. Again, a difficult one, but an important one for companies to look at, learn from others' mistakes in their own.
As we speak here in 2021, the next 10 years are going to see huge shifts in the EV market. We're either going to see those in the next 4 years. And as much as we wish we could, we don't know for sure what's going to happen and how well it's going to pan out. But we can see trends, and we can look at data and anticipate the next wave of innovation. So what's going to be key to moving the needle that little bit further forward for the EV market?
Well, I mentioned it earlier, and that price for the batteries, which is the major cost in any electric vehicle, that will continue to come down. Even though the capacity of the batteries is going up, I think that it won't be a tipping point, but it will clearly be a big driver of that more sort of mainstream adoption. But I do wonder whether, and this is all sort of talking about lithium ion batteries, I kind of expect lithium ion not to be the future. And it won't be the next year, but people are starting to get towards manufacturing solid state batteries, which are much more power dense and much cheaper all at the same time. And once they start becoming more mainstream, or indeed mainstream at all, any on the market, I think that will make a major difference to electric vehicles and their take up. Because then they genuinely will be comparable to just your common garden car that you see on the street every day. I can't see it happening in a year, though. I can't see. Yeah, I think more like 5 years feels like we could feel like a major step from where we are now. especially because of the UK government and other governments around the world moving to ban the sale of diesel and petrol cars. I think it's inevitable. You can't keep investing in those petrol and diesel cars if you can't sell them. So there will be more and more of the balance of R&D moving to electric vehicles as opposed to internal combustion engine vehicles.
Whatever the future has in store for us, EVs are part of the conversation. With plenty of EVs already in use as we speak, there's going to be a lot more of them appearing on the roads and parked up on our driveways as the world moves away from diesel and petrol-powered vehicles. If you've enjoyed listening to this episode, then please like, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you access your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you again next time.
Thank you for listening to the Digital Insight Podcast in association with theinterface.net and cpostrategy.com. The Digital Insight is brought to you by B2E Media Limited. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please remember to subscribe, rate and review. And don't forget to check out our podcast archive at www.b2e-media.com/thedigitalinsight.